to draw your attention to one thing in your bulletin, number 4. This Wednesday is what's called Ash Wednesday. It's a 40-plus day period leading up to Easter, in which we call it Lent, and often Lent is associated with a time of sacrifice as we remember what Jesus did for us. So here's the challenge. During those 40-plus days, the challenge is to fast something, to give it up. Now, for me, I'm going to do some food items that I think will be a benefit to me. I need to fast those. Maybe your fast is social media. Maybe it's TV time. Maybe it's something else. But ask God, what could you do for that time period to say, God, I'm going to set this aside, and I'm going to seek your presence and blessing for some specific need. God honors people who fast and seek him and just want his best. So you be thinking about that. That'll start this Wednesday, and hopefully you'll take the challenge and do something. Well, we'd like to share a little bit about the trip today. We left on the 3rd, got back on the 21st, which was Friday night. It was an amazing trip, and I want to share a few thoughts about it. And first of all, I'll have Junie put the first picture up. The country of Kenya is in the continent of Africa. There's about 50 million people there. And it's a poverty-stricken country. There's some progressiveness and affluence, but there's much poverty there. The next picture is a picture of the flag of Kenya. Very colorful, and you've probably seen that before. The next picture is our flight path. We left from JFK on the 3rd in the evening. We flew about seven and a half hours to Amsterdam in the Netherlands, had a 3-hour layover. We then proceeded to get on another plane and flew to Nairobi. Next picture, Junie. Google says it's 7,344 miles from JFK to Nairobi. And so we had 2 segments. The flights were very well. We then spent about 2 weeks together in Kenya. Now, our primary purpose was this. There was a group of 6 of us. 5 were pastors, and the 6th one, Sue Rupel, who used to be a part of this church, went as well. We had 3 leadership training conferences. They were about 2 days each, and we did it at 3 different locations. So our primary purpose was to teach leadership principles to the Kenyan pastors. There's about 123 pastors, and I got to tell you about them. None of them are fully supported by their church. They can't afford it. They do pastoral work, but they also then have a job on the side to support themselves and the family. And so the key verse that we anchor to as we plan these for about a year, these leadership training events, is taken from Deuteronomy. Here's what God's word was through Moses. Let my teaching fall like rain, and my words descend like dew, like showers on new grass, like abundant rain on tender plants. So we used a book, Developing the Leader Within You, 2.0 by John Maxwell, and we taught out of the 10 chapters of the book. Now understand, these pastors have very little education, very little. And so it was good information we could share with them about how to become a better leader. And so here's what we're going to do. We're going to watch a 5-minute video, which is an overview of the trip. After that's done, Jack's going to come, and he's going to share a couple stories about his experiences. After that, I'm going to come up, and I have 3 different thoughts or themes I want to share with you that I learned from the trip as well. So let's watch the video. Junie, go ahead.
Thank you. darkness you shine, and out of the ashes we rise. There's no one like you, none like you. And our God is greater, our God is stronger. God, you are higher than any other. Our God is healer, our sovereign power. Our God, yeah. Into the darkness you shine, and out of the ashes we rise. There's no one like you, none.
So I want to talk a little bit about the trip. There are so many facets. It's hard really to cover them all. But most of you know that I like warm weather. And I finally found some place that was too hot for me. And it was in Mombasa. Mombasa is in the southern coast of Kenya in the Indian Ocean. And it was blazing hot. I mean, it was like 95. It's near the equator. Sweat was just pouring off of us. You couldn't even drink enough to keep hydrated. So I met my match anyway. A couple of people asked in the morning service, like, what do the people of Kenya normally eat? They have a pretty simple diet. One of the food
is called ugali. And ugali is almost like a white paste. It's made out of like cornmeal. And so what they do, they don't normally have silverware like you and I do. So they take the ugali and they take a piece of it and they will roll it in their fingers almost like Play-Doh. Then they will push with their finger a little like crater in there, and then they will take that and then, you know, get the beans or get the rice, and then they eat that. So a lot of ugali, a lot of rice and beans, and sometimes a little meat, although you couldn't never tell what you were really, what kind of meat it was. But they were being very, very gracious to us. So I wanted to share with you three things, but first of all, I wanted to teach each of you some Swahili. Do we have anybody who speaks fluent Swahili? Who? Okay. Anyway, I kept hearing this term, which is in front of you. It means praise the Lord, and it's how they say it in Swahili, so I want you to practice it with me one word at a time. The first word is bwana. It's like bwana. Asi. Fi. Way. Now, I did it so you would understand it in English. So they would say, Buona Asa Fiwe. So they kept saying this wherever we went. I'm like, what are they saying? Well, they're big about praising the Lord, right? So they would always say, well, Buona Asa Fiwe, you know. So now you can put it all together. Can you say it? Buona Asa Fiwe. Say it again. Buona Asa Fiwe. So now you're fluent in Swahili. You can go home and tell that to somebody that you know, and they're going to look at you like, what did you just say? But we learned a lot from the Kenyan folks. So a couple of things I wanted to share with you is one about Bibles in Kenya. How many of you have at least one Bible in your home? How many have two? This is a quiz. How many have three? Wow. See, I mean, look, we have so many of them, right? Well, we learned last time we were there in 2018 that a good number of the Kenyans do not have their own personal Bible that's written in their own language, which is Swahili. And so after that trip, there were a couple of individuals in the church who created a GoFundMe page, and about $640 was raised. We talked about trying to get the Bibles here and shipping them, but the cost would have been exorbitant, and they may never have even gotten there. So we ended up, we gave to Ken Myers, I think you have that picture, Junie. So this is, that's not the one. There you go. So we gave the $640 to Ken Myers, our missionary there, and he will be getting the Bibles and then being able to distribute them among the Kenyan people. So what I found out was the cost of a small Kenyan Bible is about $2.75. So with the $640, that means there will be 232 Bibles purchased and distributed to Kenya. It's a small drop in the bucket. So I want to thank any of you who were a part of the GoFundMe page that we were able to share that then with the Kenyans together. So in response to that, what would we be able to say? Buona Asa Fiwe, right? Praise the Lord. So that we were able to do that. The third thing I wanted to share with you is just an account with a man by the name of David. David is from Uganda, so it's the next slide, Junie. And in Kenya, when you become a Christian, particularly for the men, and you become baptized, you take on a Christian name. They have their Swahili name, but so then you have like Paul and Titus and Timothy and Peter and John. So this was David. This is his Christian name. He's from the country of Uganda. If he were to stand up, he's like 6'5". He's a really tall gentleman. He was at our second training in the village near Kisumu. How did you pronounce that? Naikach? Yeah, Nakachi. So it was in a very, very rural area. And so he came from the country of Uganda. So it took him over a day and a half to get there. So we just kind of like get in our car, right? And we go to Oneonta. Well, they don't have cars to get there. They're either going to be riding on the back of a motorbike, which has two or three people on it, or some will walk. So some of these pastors came many, many hours and over a couple of days just to get to these trainings. So David, though, had one of the biggest smiles of anybody I've ever seen. And so at each training, we each of us had folks in our breakout groups, and so David was in mine. So here's what I remember about David and what I admire was his incredible, strong faith in the Lord Jesus. It just it just showed, it just kind of glowed. David has pastored a church in Uganda for about 20 years. That's a very long-term pastor there. And now David is not resting. He's planting three additional churches in the country of Uganda. Now, the reason why I think this is so amazing, for those of you who know some history, over the last 20 years, Uganda has been quite a place of unrest. There's been civil war. And so here's a man, here's a pastor who has endured all of this, but he said nothing about that at all. It was only about his Lord Jesus, right? And so for me, what impressed me was to be in the presence of such a godly man. You know, we went there to teach, but we actually received more blessings than we actually, I believe, were able to give. So even though he suffered many things, he had this rock solid, amazing, vibrant faith. And so now David and I were chatting via WhatsApp, and he's checking in on me and I'm checking in on him. So I would just say, like, as God brings David to your mind from Uganda, say a prayer for him and his family. It's not an easy ministry in Uganda, and yet he is serving the Lord faithfully, and it was my privilege to be able to spend a few moments in this godly man's presence. Larry?
Thank you, Jack. I have to say a word of thanks to the church family. The trip flowed amazingly well. There were some glitches, but just the sense of it just being blessed, I want to thank you for your prayers. There were a lot of people praying from this church and other churches, and it showed up, and we just felt that. So thank you very much. The other thing is the money this church chipped in on for the project costs for the three trainings was $2,000. The total was $5,000, but a couple other churches kicked in. So this church, New Hope Church, put in $2,000 towards these three training events. Let me tell you what the money primarily went for. These pastors can afford transportation to get from this point to this point. And so most of the money went towards their transportation costs to get there. So I just want to say thank you to the church family for what you did to help make this happen. It was a phenomenal experience. And like I say, there were three different conferences. We had about a total of 86 total pastors. There's about another 40 approximately that didn't make it because they were either working or something came up. But we had 86, and it was a very fruitful time. So I want to share with you three lessons, three truths that I kind of gleaned from the trip. There were many, but here's the first one, and I'm going to use some pictures. We got on a plane and flew intra-country from Nairobi to, I believe it's Kisumu, right? So in the chair pocket in front of us, there was this bag. And it says, share that bad feeling with this bag. I mean, it's an air sickness bag. I've never heard it quite put that way. And it's kind of cute, but, you know, I reflected on it, and here's lesson number one. The instructions are to share, you can go back, Junie. The instructions are to share the bag or the bad feelings with the bag. You know, we all have badness in our life. We have stuff in our life that is not good. And God has a bag called grace, and he wants us to bring our badness to him. Real simple. We've heard that before. And so the first lesson I just wanted to share as I went on this trip and, I don't know, just connected with an air sickness bag is this. You and I can bring our badness. I mean, we all have got it. And give it to God. And there's a bag called grace that we put it in to deal with it. And it's a marvelous truth to know that, okay, God, you still love me despite all of my badness. So that's lesson number one. Here's lesson number two. Comes from a billboard. I think this is in Nairobi. It's advertising a church. And on the left, it says, grow deep and wide. Deep and wide. Now I'm going to tell you a story that reflects this. We took a train from Nairobi to a town by the name of Voi, V-O-I. It's about a four-hour trip. So we're on a train. We had assigned seats. Ken paid for the tickets. We all had a seat we were to sit in. I was in this seat. The aisle was here. Jack was here. Kevin Rollo was over there. And then across from me, they had two seats facing each other. There was a young lady. Here's a picture of her. This is Gertrude Nyamba. She's 32 years old. She's married. She has a little girl by the name of Hope, who's 2 years old. So we got to talking, and she shared part of her life story. And she's one of six children. She's number five. Her father died 6 years ago. And as we talked, she's a Christian, she's a believer, but here's what happened. When her dad died, she was very close to him. She knew she needed something more. And she said that's when she really got serious about her faith. So that was 6 years ago. She dug deeper into her faith, and her husband and she, they pray together, and they read the Bible together, and they're committed people. So before the father died, he turned to child number five out of six, and here's what he said. He asked her to take care of her mother. So time went on, and mom got sick, and she passed away last June. Now, the mother was a survivor of cervical cancer. But her kidneys apparently shut down, and that's what she died from and passed away. So she died last June. Gertrude quit her job to take care of her mother during that season. The mother, before she died, turned to child number five and had a request for her. She said, Gertrude, I want you to take care of your younger brother. The youngest of the six children, his name is Abraham, was a Down syndrome baby. So Gertrude said yes. So the mother passed away last June, and Abraham, age 25, Down syndrome, is living with Gertrude and her husband and 2-year-old Hope. As I reflected on her story and listened to it, it's kind of a deep and wide story. Her faith is deep and wide. And of all the six kids, she's the one that, I don't know, the parents turn to say, listen, I need your help. Take care of mom, take care of your brother, and so forth. She has an older sister, Lisa, firstborn. She's age 40. And she works at a bank. I think she has a little restaurant she owns. But the 40-year-old sister's in a different place in life. She's been engaged twice, hasn't worked out, she's not married. And the older sister, Lisa, told Gertrude, who's 32, you are living my dream. And what she meant by that is Gertrude had something she did not have, and Lisa's struggling with the death of her father and her mother. And actually, she's a bit bitter. That if God is merciful, why did dad and mom have to die? So Gertrude, the younger sister, says to Lisa, the older sister, listen, you just have to accept that and entrust it to God, or you're going to get stuck. And that's where the older sister is. So Gertrude is a mentor to her older sister. My understanding of the six children, only two are Christians. There's another sister, Lucy, a little bit older than Gertrude, but they're both believers. But as I listened to Gertrude tell her story, here's what I told her. I said, you know what? I believe your folks are looking upon you and they're smiling for what you did for them and for what you're doing for your brother. And just spent some time encouraging her and say, wow, this is amazing. I'm sitting here listening to the story, and we're talking and so forth, and it touched my heart. So as Jack said, we had some amazing experiences with pastors and kids throughout that entire two-week period we were in Kenya. But I got to tell you this. This encounter with Gertrude, which is about a 3 or 4 hour train ride, was at the top for me. And I tried to figure out why. And here's what it was. Her story was deep and wide in her faith. It just touched my heart. I'd bought a Bible from Sam's, an NIV Bible, and I'd taken it with me. I didn't know who I was going to give it to. And as I was talking with her, I said, yeah, no, I want to give it to her. And so I went to another seat, and I had a pen, and I wrote something in the front, and I'll tell you what I wrote. I just encouraged her, and I said, you know, your reward is with God, and I think your parents are smiling at what you're doing. I had a little extra money with me, put it in there, and I gave it to her right at the end. And I think the lesson I learned from it is this. When a person's faith is deep and wide, regardless of the circumstances, it impacts other people. So my life was touched after traveling some 7,000 miles, sitting on a train that was, and I had an unplanned and unexpected visit with someone, and that was probably my highlight of the trip. And the reason was because she lived a faith that was deep and wide, and it touched my heart. It's really an amazing story. So you can pray for Gertrude when you think of her, just like David, and just ask God to bless her. So that was my lesson number two, just that whole experience. And I want to transition to lesson number three. And here's a picture. This is a billboard. I believe it's in Nairobi. And took a picture of it. It's from a bank. And here's what it says. There's greatness in you. Now, at the bottom, you can't read it, but let me read it to you. It says, finally, a bank that believes in you. And then at the bottom, ncbagroup.com, go for it, it says. This is a bank that put a sign up on a billboard that says, there's greatness in you, and we believe in you. And I'm thinking, this is the church. There's a sermon in this. I mean, their message is, we've got money for you. You can borrow it, and we'll charge you interest. We don't have that message. We have a better one. And the better message is that God, through Christ, sees greatness in each of us. And the church is the body that can believe in people. So I have three pictures I want to show you. Here's the first one. This is from the first training group in Eldoret. This was at the end, and just a great time. We had the lessons, and then we did breakout sessions, and we talked with people individually. Here's the second training group, Nyakachi, and this another great group. And then here's the third one. This was at Mombasa. Now, our stated intention of going was to teach leadership principles, and we did that. But as we processed the trip after it happened, there's something that surfaced that was almost more important than the training and the teaching. You know what it was? Some of the pastors who came were a little bit down from the wear and tear of life, and we just kind of loved on them and encouraged them the best we could, and we gave them a book and a booklet. We gave them name tags, and we had lollipops. I mean, we just kind of loved on them. And by the time they left, they felt lifted up. Now, here's the big lesson. When we loved on them and just encouraged them, you know what we did? We were calling out their greatness. We were just encouraging them and affirming them that they're valuable, and life may be tough, but love does that to people. You see, we can do that here in Walton. When you and I love people, we're just calling out their greatness. There's greatness in you. Well, we might teach them something along the way, but hey, when you affirm someone or you value them, whether it's your own children, husband, wife, neighborhood kids, extended family, when you love them and affirm them and you're in their corner, you know what you're doing? You're calling out their greatness. I realize people become great because they feel valued. And so all the pastors, the training was important. But what we realize is this, when you love somebody and you just kind of try and lift them up, you're calling out their greatness. And so everybody here, lesson number three is this. We have an amazing opportunity every day of every week in Walton, New York. You know what it is? When we love and value people, we're calling out their greatness. People are looking for people who will believe in them. This bank says, finally, there's a bank that believes in you. That's the message of the church. We believe in people, and we just say, God, call out the greatness in that person. And so that's the big challenge for us all. So the trip for me was just amazing. One of the best I've been on. Ministry experience. It was very rich. Again, thank you for your prayers. And just to summarize my three thoughts, lesson number one, we can bring our badness to God and put it in a bag called grace. I mean, that's what it's for, and we got to do that. Lesson number two, deep and wide. Gertrude lived a life of faith that was deep and wide. Touched my heart. Touched my heart in an amazing way. Number three, when you and I love people, when we really affirm and value them, the people in our families or people our friends, we're calling out their greatness. We want them to be all that they can be. And so as I came back, and it was an amazing trip, I just take these basic truths and share them with you. And I hope that even this week, you'll think about your own life, about your badness and the bag of grace God has for you, and living a life of impact that's deep and wide. But also, when you and I love people, we call out their greatness for them to be the best that they can be. I want to finish up with two slides. Here's the first one. This was at JFK when we got back. We were in the passport control line. And this young lady had a sweatshirt on, and it basically says, wish you were here. And I would just say to the church family, you know, I wish everybody could experience what we experienced. And maybe if God puts it in your heart going forward for some kind of a trip, maybe he'll tap you and want you to experience that as well. But here's my final slide. This was at JFK Airport. Here's what it says. One's destination is never a place, but a new way of seeing things. Here's what it means. We're always growing, and the final destination is when we see things from God's perspective. In your life and mine, whether it's how we deal with our past, how we give new hope to the future, even when it looks bleak, or in the present, it's how we see things. And so I hope today, even in the service today, you can see things a little bit different from God's perspective, because that is where God wants to continue to grow us, and we see things his way, and we get new perspective. So let's bow together for prayer. Heavenly Father, we just bow in this moment and pray for the Kenyan pastors in the Free Methodist Church. And we pray that you'll bless them and anoint them and provide for them and their families, and that you will just somehow draw close and make their ministries fruitful. Father, I pray for this church family, and I thank you for their generosity to people not only in Walton, but also halfway around the world or partway around the world. Bless them for that. But Lord, this week, help us to see things differently, even beginning today, We can bring our badness to you and put it in the bag of grace. We can live a life that's deep and wide in our faith, like Gertrude, and we can touch other people. And lastly, Father, help us to love people in such a way that it will call forth the greatness that's inside them, that they can be all that they can be. So, Lord, we just celebrate your goodness to us, and we ask all these things in Jesus' name. Amen.